Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo.
Hello.
Hi, is this Julie?
This is Julie.
Hi, Julie. Just a minute. I'm going to be right with you. Donna Sebo here. This is an hour of mind power, and we have had a real challenge today, and I have to say my guest, Julie Lenzer-Kirk, has been able to meet the timetable for doing our interview this afternoon. She's been on a 12-hour journey that should have taken her only five, and if any of you can relate to that the way I can, I would say get yourself a cup of tea, Julie, if you can, and take a deep breath and kick your shoes off, and then let's enjoy the interview. Are you with me?
That sounds like a great idea, Donna.
Let me give you a little bit of information about Julie, and I hope she takes that time to get that cup of tea because her assistant was on the line when we called in, and she said, she's driving into the parking lot. So we wanted to give Julie a bit of a break here. Now, Julie Lenzer-Kirk is an award-winning entrepreneur, and she has a passion that I really have an empathy with because she likes to empower other people to become entrepreneurs. She herself has been a very successful entrepreneur. She's a mentor to others, obviously. She's an author. She has spoken in different places in the world. She also volunteers, and she is a mother of two. Someone might say, good Lord, Donna, she sounds like a superwoman. She founded her first company, a software and services firm called Applied Creative Technologies, Inc., and she grew her business to multi-millions, and then she sold it to a business partner, and now she's teaching at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and she runs another business, Pass Forward International, and she's doing workshops, and she's just got all kinds of good things she's going to be able to share with us. But her most recent book is The Parentpreneur Edge, What Parenting Teaches About Building a Successful Business. Julie?
I'm here.
Ah, good. Well, here you are. You are a prime example of so many people in business today that are on the go all the time. Why is it that you chose the parenting positioning to teach about entrepreneurship?
Well, you know, Donna, it's interesting. I didn't think much about what I was doing when I started my job, quit my job and started my own company. And my daughter was 6 months old at the time, and then I had another daughter a year later. And it was really funny because people, you know, I don't know, once you get one child, people always want to ask you when you're going to have your next child. So people would say, well, you know, when are you going to have your third child? I said, well, you know what? My business is my third child. It keeps me up at night. It takes all my money, and it even sasses me back. And a lot of people really got that, and it's, you know, it's like if you're looking to buy a certain type of car, like a Lexus, mm-hmm. and then you see Lexus everywhere, I just really started to get, you know, see all these parallels everywhere, and people really seem to relate to it. And, you know, even if you haven't been a parent, if you're not a parent, you've been a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get the dynamics that go on in a family, and I like to tell I have had several people that have read it that have contacted me that aren't parents, and they said they really got a lot out of it. And I tell them I didn't put any secret mommy code in there, you know, that if you're not a parent, you're not going to get it. It just is something that we're all familiar with.
You bring out 4 points in your book right at the very beginning. One, there's no entrance exam for becoming an entrepreneur or a parent. Two, both business and parenthood end up requiring some amount of on-the-job training, and I would add, and then some.
Yeah.
And both parenting and the business environment, you'll be working to get results through people. And four, you're building a legacy. And I think that those are extremely important points, because when you are in business, if you are successful, whatever that level of success may be, and other people see you as a success, you are leaving a legacy, and you can do it with integrity and good intent, or you can be a street tiger that is someone people want to avoid, knowing what they don't want to see in business and what they don't want to do. You also talk about the parenting stage and the business stage. You talk about parenting stage, getting pregnant, business stage, preparing for an entrepreneurship, parenting stage, labor and delivery, business stage, launching, parenting stage, baby to toddler, business stage, the early days. Then you have elementary school, and in business, it's ramping up, a time to learn. Then you have the preteen years, growing pains, the teen years, emerging independence, and then letting go, and then exercising your exit, all of which you have gone through.
Yes.
Yourself.
Yes, and I am just in my early stages of the teen years with my daughter, so I had to borrow some stories from some other entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that you've met many women who want to be entrepreneurs, but they say, gee, I've got a family, and I can't deal with a business because I've got this family. And they have, if they are in business, they have problems. Being a female, when you're encountering women like this, how do you respond to them? Because it is something, obviously, you are a person that multitasks. Most women are known for multitasking. There are those that say if you multitask, you don't get as much done. But the fact is that when you are a mom, as a female, you really don't have too much choice. You might only have 10 minutes to get the floor vacuumed, and that's what you do. You have 10 minutes. Maybe your lunch is cooking on the stove. Am I right?
Or you do like I do and don't vacuum the floor and just let it go.
So, anyway, what do you say to these women?
Well, you know, Donna, what I've found is that a lot of people's excuses, if you will, about why they don't want to do something, it really comes back to a fear of it, a fear of the unknown. I mean, you can make anything work if you really sit down, and I think the key part is really defining what success means for you and not looking at, you know, okay, well, I said in the beginning of my business, I said, I'm not going to be the next Bill Gates. And in Washington, you know, that's a big thing. I wasn't setting out to conquer the world,
mm-hmm.
because I knew I wanted to be there for my children. I knew that was just a trade-off that I was not interested in making. And so I really contained the growth of my company so that I could be, you know, there for my kids more. But it wasn't that I was at every recital and every single soccer game. You know, my husband and I were always at one of the games, but I didn't make every one of them, but that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to let some things go, like vacuuming the floor when it was really bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
Now my kids are old enough, I teach them how to vacuum the floor and
mm-hmm.
say, you go vacuum the floor. You know, it's a team thing now.
Right. So part of what you talk about in your book is filters. And I found this quite interesting, because that's a topic that I'm addressing today on something that I'm writing. We all have filters, and most of them have been sort of dictated to us. How can someone recognize those filters, and how do you get past them?
You mean kind of like the way that we look at things and we don't see opportunity where maybe there's an opportunity there?
Well, correct. Or we have an attitude that this is the way it's got to be done, and we don't know. Maybe we need to change the filter or clean out the filter.
Right, right. Well, I think talking to other people that have done things and hearing what their story is, how did they do it, and if it's something that you really, you know, think you'd like to do, then you have to start envisioning yourself doing that and figuring out, rather than, I'm a big proponent of, you know, I like to say, you know, if you focus on an obstacle, you're sure as heck going to hit it. What you need to focus on is the path forward, which is actually where my company name came from.
Mm-hmm.
So many people focus on the trees in their path rather than looking at the path and figuring out ways to get around those trees. So I think the filter that you need to address is instead of looking at those trees, those obstacles, you need to really look at what you want to do or what you need to do and focus on how to do that and be creative about how you get around that tree or over that hill or, you know, across that stream.
You've made a point a moment ago that I thought was very important. You knew that you didn't want to be a Bill Gates. And I think so many times people feel they've got to become a Bill Gates. You know, that's what
right.
My mother or my father said, or, gee whiz, you're not worth anything unless you've got to have about $50 million. Now, in some people's minds, that might be okay. But actually, if you're not true to yourself, and that's what you worked out first, you worked out first. You said, I want to have a good business. I want to have a successful business. But I also want to take care of the family. So you realized, and that was something you kept in front of you. That,
right.
That you were not going to be that person that it was the workaholic, because that's all you were doing, 24 hours a day and, you know, everything else.
Right. You know, I set my priorities.
Yes, you set your priorities. So I think that's very important. Now, when you got ready for this, and this was something that, in a way, you were born to, because from the time you were a little girl, you've always been adventuresome, and this is something that's a part of you. But you still had your learning curve you went through. And I think too many times we like to look, you know, we see the person that's very successful, and we go, oh, aren't you lucky? Forget the luck.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's hard work, and it's commitment, and it's discipline. And not everybody's going to have the same road to follow. I mean, we've got a gazillion books out there, and you can pick one and follow it page by page by page, and you say, but it's not working.
Right.
So you, when you go for the launch, what is it you want to bring out regarding launching a business?
Well, in launching, I mean, you've really got to find something that you're passionate about. You know, just like when you see your child and you just develop that bond, that's the way you have to be in your business, because just like parenting, business, having your own business is the toughest job that you'll ever love. And it's hard, like you said, and if you don't really have a passion for it or have a passion for what it's doing or what you can, what impact you're providing into the community or society or even the world, then it's easy to lose steam. It's easy to lose steam. So I'd say, you know, one of the most important things is to really realize you've got to find something that you are really crazy about.
One of the factors that you bring out in your chapter on launching is how important it is to take care of yourself,
mm-hmm.
and how important it is to get your sleep. And boy, I know that from firsthand experience, because all of a sudden you may crash and burn, and it might be at a critical moment when all of your energy is needed to support a challenging period.
Mm-hmm.
What words of wisdom do you have regarding taking care of the self?
Well, I think one of the most important things that we women often miss is that we've really got to keep things in perspective. You know, like I mentioned, if the floor's not vacuumed, what's the worst that's going to happen? Is the house going to cave in? No. But sometimes we feel like that. You know, oh my gosh, if I don't get these dishes out of the sink, I'm going to be a slacker mom. Or, you know, if my daughter's clothes aren't ironed, all the other moms are going to think I'm a slacker. Well, you know what? Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's really letting go of some of that perfectionism that we have to do everything absolutely perfect. You know, sometimes good enough is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't give ourselves that permission enough. So I think really keeping things in perspective, asking yourself, is this going to matter in a year from now? Am I even going to remember this little thing that I'm fretting over in 1 year? You know, what about 5 years? And most of the time the answer is, no. I mean, can you remember what kept you up at night, you know, a year ago? I can't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so just really finding a way to center yourself and having that daily centering, whether it's meditation, prayer, yoga, running, something to kind of keep you centered and back to realizing, okay, you know, this is a journey. Enjoy the journey. Realize that you're going to learn along the way. You're going to make mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. And Donna, you've read my book, so you've read about a lot of them. and I continue to learn, and that's part of growth. And, you know, when we stop growing, you know, that's just not good. You know, I want to keep in mind, I told my 11-year-old daughter this the other day. I said, you know, I keep learning. She goes, you do? And I said, yeah, honey, I learn something new almost every day. And she was surprised to hear that, but, you know, it's true, because when you try new things, you always have lots to learn.
You never stop learning, as far as I'm concerned, because
nope.
I think, Julie, that it is something that when you take an attitude that you know it all and the rest of the world is screwed up, you're really heading for the deep six, because there's never an end to that learning curve. And I think you are a wonderful example to your children. Because, one, you're showing them your vulnerability. Two, you're not afraid to say, let me tell you how I really messed up on this. You don't have to listen to my words of wisdom, but it may save you a few years of your life. So if you want to listen, fine. If you don't, that's okay. I'll never mention it again. But you have that interaction with your family that enables you to show the kids that life happens sometimes, and we cannot have everything, I say this so frequently, running in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just doesn't work that way. You have to look at, what are my options? What if something goes backwards? What if you know, I have my secretary who gets sick? What am I going to do? How am
right.
I going to handle this? What am I going to do?
What if I have to sit on the runway in Chicago?
That's right, just like what you just did.
I probably went through at least 4 different scenarios about how we were going to hook up this afternoon, and they were, you know, I had to, and a lot of it was out of my control, so I didn't, you can't sit and fret over it. There was nothing I could do, but I kept coming up with options, going, okay, well, here's what I'll do if this happens, and okay, well, now this has changed. All right, how about I'll do this, and I was going to find a way.
Oh, of course, and then we connected, and then there were options to work with, and that's what I shared with your assistant, Elizabeth. If this comes up or that happens, then this is what we can do. This is what we've got.
Right.
So that is what you call problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, that's it, I have no options, you are saying, okay, this is what's happening right now. This is out of my control, but this isn't.
Right. I used to tell my employees, instead of saying, you know, we can't, say, how can we?
Mm-hmm. And that's a point that you bring up in your book, also regarding the ramping up a time to learn. You bring out the fact that you had your own mastermind group. Tell us about that group. How did you come together with them? And what did you want in the way of experience, knowledge, know-how from them? When you go into your mastermind group, I mean, just about everybody, I think, listening to the show has heard that term.
Mm-hmm.
So when you did this, why? And how did you bring the people together to do it?
Okay, well, when I realized, a couple years into my business, I realized that my role was changing. I was going from the programmer, we had a software company, to the CEO, and I had no idea what that meant. It was a new job for me. It was another transition. And I finally realized, after sitting at my desk a couple days in a row not knowing what to do with myself, I said, I got to get some help. And so I found an organization, a local organization that was a collection of other fellow women business owners. And that's where I went, and that's where I found my first mastermind group. And it was, you know, 4 women that they had different types of businesses, but they were all in business, and they were all focused on growing their business. And so we used to meet every 2 weeks, and we were actually the happy hour crew, so we met for you know, happy
mm-hmm.
hour. And what we did is we kind of held each other accountable, and we talked about what our business issues were. And it was really good to have a sounding board and to have somebody then that would come back. You know, Julie, you said last week that you were going to do this. What have you done with it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you're the boss, there's nobody really hanging over your head making sure you get things done. And so also it helps you to prioritize because, you know, you look at, you know, they'll look at you and go, Julie, why are you doing this when you just said, you know, yesterday that this was more important, you know, really helping you to kind of step back and look at yourself from somebody else's eyes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is important because it's so easy to get distracted. I know I've talked with business people and especially business women, and men have, and I think it's because of the way they're indoctrinated, they often are trained to focus on one thing at a time, and that's it. They have all their attention. They don't worry about anything else. Women, especially if they have families, they are going to say, gee, are the kids going to be fed? What about the dog? I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. I find this a very interesting position to be in because it's a tough thing to learn, that
mm-hmm.
focus. Not that it can't be done, but it's, again, manipulating that focus so that it works for you in a way that you're comfortable. How did you manage to do that?
Well, it's funny. I actually call that the shiny object syndrome, you know, running after any shiny object that crosses your path.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've had to learn what it is that distracts me and then put things in place to keep that at bay. For example, email is a huge distractor to me. And so when I have, like, a project that I need to get completed or, you know, some writing that I want to do, I won't even turn on my email. I won't even start it up because I know that that's a distraction for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I really work hard to first of all, identify those things that distract me easily, and then, you know, put steps into place so that I can kind of mitigate their effect on my productivity. I mean, I am, unfortunately, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs probably are, a bit ADD.
Mm-hmm.
And so I constantly have ideas running through my head and new ideas and new thoughts. So I also carry around with me a little notepad in my purse. And anytime I have an idea or a thought that isn't related to what I'm working on, I'll write it down. Or I've even carried a tape recorder in my car to speak into the tape recorder, so that I'm capturing those ideas. They're not going to be tormenting me, but I can get those ideas down and then go back to what I was focused on.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I even do that with my kids. You know, when I come downstairs, I work out of the house right now most days, and so when I come downstairs, I bring with me my little pad, so I can focus on the kids. But if something hits, you know, sometimes things just pop into your head, and I find that when I write them down, I know that I've captured it, and I can forget about it.
What your technique is one that Steve Allen, who was just phenomenal in the industry of music and writing and was a very creative man, his wife said that he had pads of paper in every single room because thoughts would hit him, and he would just write them down, just exactly what you're talking about, and he wasn't scurrying around for a piece of paper, and they always had to be in the same place
mm-hmm.
for those pads of paper. And that's how a lot of the stuff he put together would come together.
Well, you'll laugh. I actually use my old corporate business cards for that, too.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like just putting them in the trash.
Yeah, I use the little business cards are in my nightstand and right next to my bed.
That is fabulous. Now, you also make a comment about getting out of the details.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were, and I've known individuals that are so detail-oriented that you go, can I breathe now? I mean, it is unbelievable. You cannot have a conversation with sometimes people that are so detail-oriented without them talking for an hour and a half, and then they take their first breath.
Right.
So how did you learn you have to attend to details to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're starting up and you're the entrepreneur, you've got to do, as one person has told me so many times, you've got to do everything. You're wearing all the hats.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't wear all the hats forever. You just can't.
So not if you want to grow your business.
How did you get out of it?
Well, that was actually, I have to admit, that was probably one of the hardest things for me in the growth of my company, because I was in the details. I created part of the software that we wrote. And so What I did to do that, first of all, I hired really smart people that I could trust to take care of the details. But I also had to let go that, you know, not everybody's going to do everything the same way that I'm going to. And so I had to let them, I had to learn to be very concise in my expectations and communicating my expectations. And this is what we need to be doing, and this is what's important. But then how you do that doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this, I do this at home with my kids and with my husband, because, you know, a lot of women will say, well, I can't let my husband do the laundry because he doesn't fold it right. And, you know, folding is not one of my husband's most favorite things. But you know what? I had to let go of that. If he's going to do the laundry, then he's going to do it his way, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is. And my kids with their homework, they're old enough now that they have to be in charge of their homework. So I have to get out of those details and let them do it, and sometimes that means you have to let them fail, too.
Oh, no question about that. How are you going to grow if you don't
right.
get kicked in the tush every once in a while?
And
you find out, oops, sorry, I don't have that extra whatever it is. Oh, boy, I really mucked up because I didn't do this right or I didn't do that right. I think that's one of the weaknesses in a lot of society today, where there's too much of the expectation that somebody else's fault, somebody else is supposed to take care of this for me, and I shouldn't have to go through these things. Or parents that will say this about their children, I don't want them to suffer the way I suffered. They can't. They're not you. They're not going to suffer the way that you suffered. They're going to have to suffer in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because that's how you grow.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's in business or on a personal level, that's how you grow. I like your four words. Fair is not equal. Let's talk about that for a moment.
My daughters don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people have the idea that, everything that's fair means that everything is equally divided. And, you know, look at the way we do with our kids. I mean, my kids are very different. And I, you know, even looking at my brothers and I, we're all very different. So what's fair for one child is not necessarily going to be the same thing that works for another child. One child may need a lot more help with homework, and so I might sit down and spend more time with her to do her math homework. The other child didn't need as much help, so she didn't get as much of my time. Is that fair? Well, I mean, yeah, it is. She needed more of my time at that point. There might be some point in the future when my other daughter needs more time, and I'll give it to her, but we can't really, it's not a scale type of thing. It's not, okay, one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me. It just is what it is. You have to kind of be fair and realize that, especially your employees. Employees need different things. They like to be rewarded different ways. Different things motivate them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't recognize that, you try to treat them all the same, then you won't be being fair.
That's true. And that is something that I think takes a special talent to be able to recognize that every single person is different. And that some people may need extra training when you have a business.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get upset if they don't get it in 30 seconds. You say, all right, let's find out what they're good at, you know, good at. And also, maybe they're in the wrong job. Let's take some time, spend some time with this employee, because one of the greatest costs you can have is the hiring and training of an employee. And if they're in the wrong spot, you've invested maybe tens of thousands of dollars in that person. And if you don't take the time to figure it out, they're out the door, and maybe they go somewhere else, and they would have had a position in your own company and would have done beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we actually hired a woman who was a referral from one of our employees early on, and I think we probably had 6 employees at the time. She had been at home with her kids for 10 years. She'd come out of a medical industry, and she was going to come in and do something totally new with us. And so it took us a little bit of time, a lot more time to teach her and help her with the different office systems, the different software systems, because she wasn't familiar with any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But she turned out to be one of our most productive employees.
Right.
And we wouldn't have known that if we'd have said, oh, I'm sorry, we don't offer that level of training. You have to customize it to the individual.
Also, that is something that would be a whole interview all by itself. It's how you look at people to know whether they fit in your environment or not.
Mm-hmm.
You also have in your chapter, and I know we're just about out of time here, having it all, myth or reality. Can you answer that in about 30 seconds?
I can. Having it all means that you need to define your own model of success. And so you can have it all, but you have to define what all is for you and really worry about what you do and what you can do and what's success to you rather than looking at what somebody else has.
Amen to that, because success is an individual choice.
Mm-hmm.
And too often we get caught up with other people's expectations, ignoring our own. My wonderful guest today has been Julie Lenzer-Kirk. Her fabulous book is The Parentpreneur Edge, What Parenting Teaches About Building a Successful Business. It's for guys, gals. I'm telling you, it's down to earth and very realistic. And if you want to do something like that, this is a must-read book. Julie, what is your website that people can go to?
My website is my name, www.julie, J-U-L-I-E, Lenzer, L-E-N, Z as in zebra, E-R, K-I-R-K. And the book is actually on sale at Amazon's website. I mean, it's a steal right now, so great time to go get it.
Fabulous. Julie, it's been a delight. Thank you for being my guest. Again, her website, julielenzerkirk.com, The Parentpreneur Edge. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now. More good things coming.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
This is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. And if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I'm ready for you. Here we go. Telephone numbers to call in to 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now remember, if you want to chat with me, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, I always like to know where you're calling from. And then let me do what I do. I'm an informational resource. I'll be delighted to give that a bit of information to you. And then after I finish, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. So again, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 and also 530-876-3222. Well, it's getting closer and closer. Yes, the 6th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival. It's going to be starting at February the 8th. We're going to be doing a live broadcast from there, but I'm going to be there the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, and it's also going on the 11th. It's going to be held at the LAX Hilton at 5711 West Century Boulevard in Los Angeles. If you want more information about it, call 800-367-5777. That's the ConsciousLifeExpo.com. You can go to their website, find out all about it. All kinds of speakers. We're going to have all kinds of people, including myself, that are going to be presenting information. There's going to be a spiritual comedy night. There's going to be a conscious business symposium. Also, yoga classes. Now, I will have a booth there. I'll be available for many consultations, and I'll have some of my books. It's going to be booth number 517. That's my booth number. But if you come by, I'll be speaking on Saturday, but I'll be there doing a live broadcast on Friday, available for many consultations. Come on by and say hello. You'll see the big yellow banner talking about the Donna Sebo Show here at bbsradio.com. Again, go to the website, ConsciousLifeExpo.com, or if you like me and you want to talk to a human being, call 800-367-5777. Then, towards the end of February, which is going to be the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, I'm going to be appearing at the Psychic Spectrum Expo in Seattle For those of you in the state of Washington, I will be appearing there all 3 days. We are also going to be doing a live broadcast in Seattle. Now, you can get more information about this, thepsychicspectrum.com, psychicspectrum.com, or go to spectrumevents.org, spectrumevents.org. Now, the phone number to call for more information is 253-941-3355. That's 253-941-3355. And I'll be speaking all 3 of those days, and it's just going to be a dynamic weekend up in Seattle. This is going to be one traveling lady. I'm also going to be back in California later on in the month because I'm doing a presentation for the Quantum Leap Group that is going to be down there. So I am going to begin a year that I think is going to be taking me to different parts of the country, and I'm really excited. I may have a chance to meet you wherever you are in the country. You never know. I may pop up in your neck of the woods, and if so, I would just love to hear from you. So those are the 2 events that are coming up in February. In March, I'll be traveling up to Alaska. For those of you who are going to want more information about my calendar, my appearances, then it will be coming up, 1, in my newsletter, which will be coming out on Friday. 2, it will also be up on my website. And 3, there will be some information that I'll pop in the bbsradio.com link where we list all of our guests. You'll hear and see different things that will be there. So anyway, I wanted to bring you all up to date. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. There's a gentleman by the name of Mike Piazza. You may or may not know about him, but he made this statement: nobody wanted me. Scouts told me to go to school to forget baseball. Coaches said, you're never going to make it. I appreciated their honesty because I think when someone tells you something you may not like, you have to use that as fuel for motivation. Now, Mike Piazza is the Oakland A's star. He started his career as the last round draft pick and today holds the record for the most home runs by a catcher. It is amazing how we can be perceived by people in a certain way, but it's what we think about ourselves that makes the difference. And I think Mike Piazza is just a wonderful example of that. He took in the criticisms, but he didn't let them beat him down. Goodness, I remember times in my life when that is what would happen to me. Somebody criticized me, I would just crumble. Can you relate to that? Man alive, I can. Being so fearful that maybe I would hurt somebody's feelings, or, gee, they were right, I wasn't. There comes a time when you have to have integrity with yourself. And that is all about filters, how we filter information. What do we do with it? Can you use it as a motivational leverage to make you achieve what you want to achieve? And when I say make you, I should say leverage you to achieve. It's a good thing to think about. So if someone does criticize you, why don't you surprise them and ask them what they'd recommend that you do? They may tell you, like Mike was told, forget baseball. You're never going to make it. What does that make you do? You know, lots of times people can have talent. They can be so talented that they're awesome, but they never do anything with it. Why? Because they don't work at it. They're not willing to make a commitment. They're not willing to practice every day. I think of Plácido Domingo, the great opera singer. He had to practice every single day. He had to go through monotony every single day, over and over and over and over again. Why? Because as a performer, if he wanted his voice to be there in its best, he had to work it out. Think of the muscles in your body. There was somebody that sent around some photos of, you know, you can't always keep the best. And it was a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and my goodness, this man was phenomenal physically. Well, he went through a period where he didn't really take care of himself, and there was a picture of him looking rather flabby. And they said, well, as you get older, this is what happens. However, he reversed that. He said, I can take care of myself. I don't have to stay this way. So the thing is, where are you going to put yourself? It's so easy to have a filter in your mind that says, this is the way it's always been. That's just the way it is. Uh-uh. Doesn't have to be. You get older, that doesn't mean you have to become a couch potato. If you lose a job, that doesn't mean you cannot go out, even at the age of 70, and find something interesting to do. It doesn't make any difference whether you're 12 or 105. What you do with your life, with your mind, with your actions, makes all the difference in the world. Mike Piazza, I think, is an inspiration, and he should be recognized for that, because that statement, somebody tells you something you may not like, use it as fuel for motivation. In his case, he became the person that's made the most home runs, and he's a catcher. Interesting facts. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Those are the telephone lines. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Okay, tomorrow we're going to be talking with PMH Atwater, the big book of near-death experiences. When I received this, I was amazed. It is a big book, and I'm not kidding. It is a big book. The information in it is phenomenal, and we're going to be talking all about that tomorrow. Then we're going to be talking with Dawson Church on Thursday, the man that's written The Genie in Your Genes. We are coming forth with so much knowledge and information because of the curiosity of people that want to find out more. How can we make it better? What do we need to know about ourselves physiologically? How can we be healthier? What can we do? Well, this is what we're going to be talking about, and the fact that each of us has magic within themselves to work with. Soulmate or cellmate, Jackie Wood is going to be my guest. This is a good conversation, right? Because that is the theme. Love seems to be, Valentine seems to be the theme for the month of February. Why? I think it's all because of chocolate. But anyway, those are the people that are coming up that are going to be guests on my show. We've got just such a dynamic lineup in February, and you're going to find all of them listed on bbsradio.com on the guest sheet information. Also, it'll be in my upcoming newsletter that'll be coming out. So if you want to know more about what's happening on the Donna Siebel Show, just check it out, and it will be there for you by the 1st of February. Well, let's see. I have some other information I wanted to share with you. This one I really liked. I am a strong believer in synchronicity. I really am. I really believe that if you relax enough and let go, when you are really ready to make a step forward in life and you just allow things to evolve, you have the intention, you put it there, things will happen. Well, this is a story by John Shaw. He's from Tecumseh, Oklahoma, and he's a police officer. And I found his story so absolutely fascinating. And it just, to me, is a demonstration of how when you are open and receptive, you're going to be in the right place at the right time. And I have so many conversations with people that go through the same thing. Now, what happened with John is he and his wife and their two children were having dinner at a Chinese restaurant. And it was just something they liked to do. It was a Friday night, and they were all together. And being a police officer at a juvenile rehabilitation center, it can really be tough because as an adult, you're looking at these young kids and you see these attitudes and you see all of their distortions. And many times you really want to reach somebody that you know really needs some help. But they've got this insulation around them that makes it almost impossible. Well, he was running through a scenario that he had experienced with one of the kids in the juvenile hall. And he wanted to see if he could help this young kid. This is a 17-year-old young man, and he was thinking to himself while he's having dinner, you know, if we don't get to him in one way or the other, he's going to end up in prison. It's just right there. This is the pattern he's going through. Well, John had a 10-year-old daughter. They're in this Chinese restaurant. They finish dinner, and naturally, what are they going to be served? Fortune cookies. Yes. And that's always one of the most enjoyable parts of the meal because you never know what's going to be in the fortune cookie. Well, his 10-year-old daughter said, Dad, come on, open up the fortune cookie. So that's what he did. Now, we've got a caller on the line, and after we finish with the caller, well, oh, my goodness, we have to go to a break. Before I go to that caller, let's do the break. I'll come back, talk to the caller, and I'll finish the rest of the story. Don't you go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. We're going to take our caller. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
First name or initial, sir, and tell me where you're calling from.
Michael, and I'm calling from Carmel.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Michael, as I am watching you in my mind, I am interested in the fact that you are working out some calculations. And when I say calculations, I'm not necessarily referring to numbers. But you are weighing and measuring information. That would be a better way to phrase it. And you are doing a process of elimination because you have to get down to what I call the bare bones of detail so that you're going to get done what needs to be done. And I compliment you on this because I know this can be a very tedious process, but you know you're having to weed out some stuff, for the lack of a better term at this moment, that no longer is necessary in your environment, and you no longer want to be stuck with it. And I want to, again, compliment you, because not a lot of people would want to have that kind of integrity with whatever they do, but you do. So I want to say, keep on track. You are going to be able to determine exactly what you need to do and how you need to do it, and where you want to see yourself within a decent time frame. I'm looking at 3 months. Should you decide that you want to relocate, I'd want you to give yourself some time to do this. Because if you choose to relocate, you don't want to just do it on an impulse. You want to think it through clearly. So if there is a commuting factor that may come into the picture, evaluate it. Is it worth continuing for a period of time until you have everything in place the way you want it? Or do you want to reverse the process? Do you just want to take a chance? I think the former is better than the latter, because I think you're going to learn a lot of things that you need to know so that you can be efficient in what you want to do. I want you to write, too. I think you have got so many stories to tell and so much wonderful information to share. And you are a very giving person, and I would want you to know that there are those people that would want to read your stories. So I'd like to encourage you to perhaps consider joining a writing group, an artistic format of some kind that allows this creativity to break out of its cocoon so that it can take life on the written page. What would you like to ask me about today?
Well, that's quite a lot. I don't know what to ask you now.
Oh, I like that kind of confusion.
I was going to ask a simple question, just like I'm doing exactly what you're saying. I'm trying to weed out and seeing what works and what doesn't, even at this stage in my life. And so I've applied for a different kind of a position that kind of interests me, that would go out and sell architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And sell this company, and I'm wondering how I just given it up to the universe. I just sort of went in and interviewed and said, hey, if they want me, fine. If they don't want me, fine.
Oh, I think that's a great attitude, and I think this is going to serve you well. I believe that this opportunity, should you choose to take it, there is one person that is going to be in the working environment that is so creative. I mean, really, a very creative person. They are what you would expect in a think tank. And this person will sometimes be very difficult for others to deal with because they're in their head so much. Yet you will be able to understand this individual so well. I think this person will drive you nuts at times. However, you'll understand their thinking process and thereby build a rapport with them and get an insight into a level of creativity that you've not had exposure to before.
Huh. Whoa.
So I think that you have embarked on what I would consider quite an interesting journey. Is it the end-all of end-all? No. I believe that you are giving yourself permission to do what you would have liked to have done when you were in your 20s.
Precisely.
And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
Even at my age, right?
Listen. Grandma Moses didn't get her act together until she was way up there in years.
Okay.
You're never too old. One of the biggest misconceptions, I think, is this attitude that every age has its particular limitations. You should be so grateful for the experiences you've had because actually it gives you the freedom to be loose as a goose if you want to.
Well, you are correct there. I'm really grateful for all the experiences I've had.
And that's why you also need to write.
I've never thought about writing, to tell you the truth. I do have some funny stories, yes.
Oh, I think you should. I think you should. I think you've got so much to share that with the writing, and just write as you talk, the way if someone was sitting in front of you, you're telling a story.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're so well, Michael. So welcome, Michael. Thank you for calling in.
You've been an inspiration.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's the purpose of the show. That's why I love doing what I do so much.
Well, you did it today.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Donna.
This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, I know we're out of time. And oh, gee whiz, I'm going to have to tell you the rest of John's story tomorrow because we've run out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You belong to you, not to anybody else. And wherever it is that you're wanting to go with your life, whatever challenges you may be happening in your life, understand they are your experiences. And you're going to be able to make them work for you or against you. Make them work for you. Good stuff. Life is good. And you're blessed. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.